AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Matt, Patrick. Yes, Patrick, I have almost been doing radio now for 30 years. I know, it sounds like crap still, I know. But I started on Armed Forces Radio Network in Nuremberg, Germany, when I was in the military. That's a long story. But I have the distinction of being the guy that was the first man to play Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit, I think, on the European mainland. And it was, and the rules we had back then was that if you were on Armed Forces Radio Network, you had to play Top 40. And I said, and we'd always listen to the music, and they'd say, what do you think is going to be a hit? And I said, well, that new one by Nirvana is going to be really big. And they said, oh, well, we're not going to play that. That's too heavy metal. I said, I think that's going to hit the charts. They said, never. So then it hit the Hot 100, and then it hit the Top 40, and then it was in the Top 20, and they still were refusing to play it. Now, this was the military, the U.S. military, so not the German radio station. And just one day, I just played it. And I realized, well, if this is my last show, I'll go out with a bang, won't I? And the phones rang for 2 days. Was ist das? Sehr gut. Das Remix? Nein? Okay. And yeah, that was a big deal because we only broadcast. That was the biggest audience I'll ever have in my entire life. It was like 40 million people we broadcast to in the Northern Bavaria Armed Forces Radio Network station. And that's always the best way to start off, with the massive audience, because that's always your best product when you're just right out of the gate. Just, hey, it's better than playing like One Direction for the first. I played One Direction the first. That's like something you don't want to admit. I played Nirvana. There you go. Welcome. You're welcome, Germany. Sorry about Trump. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Kind enough to join us to start off the show today is the Senate Minority Leader, Senator Susan Kent. This is Senate District 53. She is kind enough to join us after what has been an incredibly busy and, well, somewhat sad week in the Minnesota Senate after the actions of Paul Gazelka, the Majority Leader, and the Senate Republicans. Senator, thank you much. I really appreciate the time today.
Well, Matt, it's always great to talk to you, and I agree with you. This is a sad day in the Minnesota Senate.
It was. So let's just a little background. Once again, the governor put forward an extension of 30 days of the emergency powers because we do have a pandemic and we're getting ready to start schools back up. Because of the nature of that, the House and Senate get called back in for an emergency session. It wasn't supposed to be anything major this time because of the bond market and the selling of state bonds. There couldn't be any financial bills brought up in this session, so everyone thought it was going to be somewhat humdrum. And then Paul Gazelka and Karen Housley and the rest of the senators basically blindside the Democrats and say, we're going to vote up and down right now on on one of the commissioners, the Labor and Industry Commissioner. And it ends up being – it was a fix. It seems like the fix was in. Talk about the beginning of that, when all of a sudden they're saying – you were all of a sudden aware that this all of a sudden was a new tactic of the Republicans, since they were mad at Governor Walz. They were going to start going after his commissioners.
So let me go back just a little bit and remind everybody that these commissioners were appointed, I think, in December of 2018 after Governor Walz was elected. So they could have been confirmed. They could have gone through this process at any point during the 2019 session, which would have been appropriate, but they didn't. They still didn't get done in the beginning of the 2020 session, and now Gazelka talks about COVID as if that's the only thing that made it so that it's been almost 2 years that these people have been on the job. And let's be clear, they have been intentionally dangling this over as a threat for all kinds of things for a while now, okay? But, you know, we knew this potentially could come up. And so on Tuesday, and that was in the middle of primary elections, I actually contacted Senator Gazelka, and I just wanted to make sure, as you said, we knew this should be a relatively uneventful special session, and I just wanted to confirm with him, you know, what his vision was for what would be going on. And, you know, he conveyed to me, and I'm using that word carefully, that there would not be anything controversial.
So he specifically, you asked him if anything controversial is coming up, and Paul Gazelka lied to you, said, nope, nothing's coming up.
Well, it depends on what the meaning of the word lie is. If you consider a lie of omission a lie, absolutely. He, and this is how intentional this was, because he was very clear that he didn't want me to know something that then I would go back and tell Governor Walz. So he misled the other. And let's be clear about this, too. You know, yes, they are the majority party because they have 52% of the members and we have 48% of the members. It is not like they own the place and we're just a potted plant in the corner. And so, you know, we should be working together. And that's why, you know, I have felt like we've had a pretty good relationship. But no, he conveyed to me that there would be nothing controversial on the floor on Wednesday. And so we've gone through these little technical bills we were doing, you know, that were non-controversial. And then he gets up, and as he's getting up, standing up in his seat to start making this motion, I get a text, and it was 3:29, and it was to me and the governor and the speaker, and I'm probably Representative Dowd, and saying, we're taking up the Dolley commissioner. I don't expect her to be confirmed. So you're exactly right. The fix was completely in. He wouldn't have done it if he didn't have 34 votes, which actually, let's be clear, he could have had 35 votes, but he only had 34 votes because Senator Abler managed to disappear before he had to take that vote.
Oh, convenient for him in his challenge this year. Okay, and I understand verbiage. Okay, I'll call it a lie. This is me calling it a lie. You're not calling a lie. He lied to you. It sure sounds like he lied to you, said nothing's going to happen. And then they had this tweet, this text all ready to go with this. I know you don't have much to do with the House, but House Minority Leader Kurt Dowd, the Republican down there, put out a tweet where he's basically was making light of the firing of Nancy LePink. The firing of Nancy LePink by basically saying, well, the Senate's now executing prisoners. And even Gazelka tried to tone this down and make an argument. I'll get to that in a second. But talk a little bit about the fact that I honestly think that's when Kurt Dowd, when he said that, that's when the cat was out of the bag, that this is clearly had nothing to do with the Department of Labor and Industry and had everything to do with a bunch of, you know, petty brats who basically were angry at the governor.
So, I have a very similar reaction. I mean, I think much to Senator Gazelka's dismay, Representative Dowd said the quiet part out loud. And Senator Gazelka was like, clean up in aisle three. This is so clearly about petty vendettas and being vindictive and using people's lives to do so. Because we need to remember, Commissioner Lepik, it oversees the Department of Labor and Industry, which may not mean much to most Minnesotans because we know that the bureaucratic alphabet soup of state agencies can be confusing. But what they do is they oversee workers and workplaces. Labor is the workers and industry is the businesses and the places where they work. And they work together with business and labor to make sure that those workplaces are safe. And in a pandemic, guess what? That really matters.
Yeah.
And not only has she been doing it in your traditional the workplaces that you might think of, a construction site or a manufacturing facility or places like that, she's been consulting with the Department of Education on how, because she's been doing this in all these other workplaces. Now she's coming over and helping the Department of Education counsel their schools on how we keep our teachers and our staff and our students safe. You know, that's who they just ousted. And when they deny it, as you can tell, I get a little wound up here. When they deny a confirmation, they're firing her.
Yes.
They're ousting her from that position that day. And so they just decapitated that organization during the middle of a pandemic when we need safe workplaces, because if our workplaces aren't safe, they're not going to stay open. Has anybody heard about what's gone on in the meatpacking plant?
In Georgia, Texas, Florida, for goodness sakes. I mean, it gets worse here if you don't have competent leadership. By all accounts, Commissioner LePink had been considered to be a very competent, you know, commissioner. There hadn't been any problems. After Kurt Dowd put out his tweet, Gazelka's argument, I mean, I'm going to pull Gazelka and Housley's argument. Gazelka's argument was, I talked to the governor 6.5 months ago one time. So there's no paper trail. It's not like I've got a little concern. He says, I talked to the governor 6.5 months ago. I told him I didn't like her that much, but that was it. And as I pointed out, is if this was a regular business, you wouldn't, you know, you would have a wrongful termination suit if that's all you had on your concern about her performance. Housley's argument, and this is one they've been trying to hide behind, is something to do with the work environment of rural barns that hold weddings. And the first thing I said is, if that's your biggest problem with the Commissioner of Labor and Industry, well, then you've got the best labor and industry commissioner on the planet, because that's such a minor issue. They clearly did not expect the blowback that they've got, and they're trying desperately to create a validation which makes sense. But even their made-up validations make zero sense.
Right. Well, I mean, I think they know that. First of all, she is eminently qualified. I mean, Nancy Leppin she works in the Obama administration at a very senior level. She has done this work at an international level. She is a native of Two Harbors, Minnesota, and she came back to do this work here in Minnesota. We're lucky to have someone of her experience and expertise and qualifications. And the thing that, you know, I think is important to understand is that, yes, she's tough. Sometimes that's a problem for women in the workplace. I'll just throw that out. But she's tough because she's fighting for workers. She's fighting for Minnesotans. And, you know, in my experience, that's something that should be lauded and welcomed and celebrated, not dismissed in such an incredibly disrespectful way that, again, jeopardizes Minnesota.
I'm glad you're bringing up two elements of this, because there's been two parts which I brought up. One, the fact is you're in the middle of a pandemic and you just got rid of the person that's in charge of worker safety in the state. That's about as stupid as you can get. But as well, talk a little bit about the other message that's sent here with the misogyny on display. And I have no problem calling it misogyny on display. You have a bunch of Republicans led by Paul Kozelka who are frustrated at the governor, and the retaliation is to go after a woman commissioner who has done nothing really to justify what their retaliation warranted. I'm sorry, I clearly see just the misogyny of the GOP from the last, well, forever, that has been there, that is on full display. And even though they're trying to, you know, as they try to make this argument of, oh, we're really for suburban women, the reality is here is another case, and I talked to my wife a little bit about this, Senator, and she, this is not something that appeals to her under the guise of it's not very supportive of women to just go fire one randomly just because you're mad at a man.
Wow, you said that really well. You know, those of us who've been in the work world for, you know, 30-some years, the idea that you might have not the right tone, or you're not likable enough, or somebody, you don't smile enough to make somebody happy, these are very, very familiar themes. And they are used to justify, marginalizing women in the workplace all the time. And, we all know it. And so, it is what it is.
There are two where you move from here is kind of interesting under this guise. Is it MinnPost today has a story that sort of implies that, yep, they've got a laundry list of commissioners they're ready to negate, to basically cripple the executive branch of the state during a pandemic out of pettiness. But as well, there seems to be this question of, does the governor really have to call the Congress back in for special session? There's a murkiness that seems to be there. Now, granted, we're saying goodbye to any bonding bill this year. But if this is all they're going to do is basically just use this as retaliation and, you know, come up with some kind of garbage defense to fire a commissioner – yeah, you know, and especially Governor Walz needs his team around him. It'd be interesting to see where he goes. What have you heard about where Paul Kozelka and the Republicans are going to go from here?
Well, who knows? I mean, that's part of the problem, right? I mean, we've heard a couple of names, but then he threw out a couple more on the floor the other day. I thought it was sort of interesting that he's kind of keeps coming back to women, but then I think they realize we can't just have a list of women, a binder full of women we want to, you know, remove from their posts. And so we're going to throw Steve Grove's name in there too. It's just for good measure. You know, I want to go back to what you said, Matt, because this is so important. And I've had the, you know, the privilege to be in the rooms with so many of these incredibly dedicated, talented, hardworking people who have given so much of themselves through an incredible period of the last 6 months or so. From Jan Malcolm to Commissioner Lethink to Margaret Anderson Kelleher to Steve Grove. I mean, the list goes on and on. These folks who have, oh, you know, Tara Tomes from Minute, who stood up our entire state government to be able to work remotely in a matter of days. I mean, it's never been done before. And the list goes on and on. And if Senator Gazelka thinks his plan is a good idea to remove this leadership at this time, I don't know what we do. And let's be clear. He only needs 34 votes, and he's got 35. To take every single one of them down if he so chooses. And the only thing that will slow him down is how much and how long 32 senators and some of us working remotely because of COVID can filibuster and slow it down.
If the governor does come to the legal conclusion that he does not have to call a special session to try to overrule his extension of emergency powers, would you be for that, or would you rather see that the House and the Senate have a say on whether or not the governor can continue those powers?
You know, this is a tough one, I will be honest. And I've talked about this publicly quite a bit. The statute about the emergency powers never foresaw something like a pandemic and an ongoing event. Right. So it is unclear about what is supposed to happen with these kinds of extensions when we're out of session. And so the governor, and I think very responsibly, said, you know, we could make the argument that we don't have to call you back, but we're going to interpret this in the most legislature friendly way we can. And we're going to bring you back and give you this opportunity. But there is definitely a legal argument to be made that he doesn't have to. As a legislature, I want to fight for the legislature. I believe in the checks and balances, and I don't want to weaken my branch. But I also am deeply concerned about what I consider to be an abuse of power to attack leaders within the executive branch by one caucus of one body of the Senate, of the legislature, for purely vindictive political purposes.
It's stunning because it does seem like that even though these commissioners have not done anything to warrant this, and we clearly need to have people like with the qualifications of Nancy LePink in office to deal with these serious issues during this crisis, the Republicans, well, I mean, I guess it's not too much of a surprise. I mean, they're the party of no face masks and right. Party of in conservative states.
Open up the schools.
Yeah, exactly. They're opening up the schools, and they're having nightmare scenarios there. You know, this is it is disturbing. Just on a personal note, as the minority leader and hopefully soon to be the majority leader in the Senate, you know, when you look at Paul Gazelka now, and you misspoke is the way you said it. I called it lie.
No, I call it a lie of omission.
A lie of omission. Okay, I'll just call it a lie. I don't need the of omission part. I think he lied. But when you get to that point, I mean, how damaged is your relationship now with Paul Gazelka to where when you do become the Senate Majority Leader, and I'm feeling pretty good about that, when you do become the Senate Majority Leader, that, you know, that any need as him as the minority party, you can't trust him because of when he had a chance to be a straightforward guy, he basically had his lie of omission.
You know, that is such a great question, and it's honestly one I've been grappling with ever since it happened, because it was so, you know, I'm not naive. I know people are dishonest, but Senator Gazelka presents himself as a moral man, one who takes integrity and ethics seriously. There have been times where I felt like I'll just use the phrase, gone back on his word. I would attribute that more to maybe he overpromised something and his caucus wasn't able to back him up on it. I've never before felt like he has intentionally tried to mislead. And that's actually exactly what happened the other day. So you're right. I mean, that is a huge question. I don't know over the next few months and over you know, looking ahead to whatever may happen after January, that will be a difficult, once trust like that is broken, how do you come back to that?
I don't know. I mean, once he starts going down this path, and I mean, obviously the question is sure, if we have another special session, which female commissioner from Governor Walz's staff is he going to go retaliate against next? And I think that that's a fair question to ask. I want to say congratulations on your primary win. You're also been promoting Flip MN Senate, which is a Twitter feed, social media pages that obviously we need that Minnesota Senate in the DFL's hands. And, you know, we need to make you the majority. It is so important that people get out this election cycle. I think we had a good trend here with primary day. We have to look at that general election because we have to flip these seats and get the DFL back in charge of the Senate.
And can I just say, we have some just incredible people running for office.
Indeed.
Around the state. And I cannot wait for them to join us in the Minnesota Senate in January. We're going to have a lot of tough, hard decisions to make. And this is the caliber of people that I think need to be making those decisions.
Senator, I'm sorry. I know I saw in your, I saw the passion. I saw the how distraught you were on the special session day. I could see how it was going. This is not how a functioning government works. And I'll say it for the record. Paul Gazelka is everything wrong with government right now. Just agenda driven policy that makes no sense whatsoever. And that is Paul Gazelka and what he did on that special session. All my best. I know we're probably headed for another special session at some point here, but hopefully it's not going to be a case where ignorance triumphs over intelligence.
We'll do our best.
Well, with you in charge, we do our best, Senator. I'm a big fan. Senator Susan Kent, I'm very glad to have you on. Once again, Senate District 53, if I'm not mistaken, and she's kind enough to join us today to talk about the just unbelievable dishonesty from Paul Gazelka and the Senate Republicans. And it wasn't just the dishonesty on the front end of it. It was the dishonesty afterwards with their made up. Well, she didn't think, I don't think the commissioner was being honest when she said there had to be face masks or social distancing in wedding barns. What the hell are you talking about, you ignorant fools? This was retaliation. And the reality is retaliation works both ways, and unfortunately it does. And you can't trust Paul Gazelka now. He's gotten rid of that. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll do the Minnesota coronavirus update, and then I got a Democrat of the day coming up here as well. That is Heather Keeler, House 4A up in the northwest side of the state. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Laura. These are indeed confusing times. So much of our life, education, business, meetings have moved online, yet not everyone has internet access. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, is here for everyone. Radio reaches people without internet. In fact, radio reaches more Americans than any other platform. 92% of U.S. adults listen to radio every week. Radio connects. If you know some organization, maybe a religious or civic group, seeking to engage and knows that a Zoom call costs money and does not reach everyone, consider a taped or live broadcast on AM 950. Perhaps a virtual not-so-silent auction, recovery support, spiritual support, business networking, poetry slam. If you want to learn more about creating a live or taped message on AM 950, call 952-946-8885 or email laura@am950radio.com. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here for everyone.
Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is a fourth-generation family-owned and operated business with 500 combined years of professional experience. Standard Heating has been providing the Twin Cities with heating and cooling solutions for 90 years. Learn more by visiting standardheating.com/radio.
Help Victor's 1959 Cafe, your favorite Cuban restaurant, stay open. Victor's is closed temporarily, but they are accepting gift card purchases at victors1959cafe.com. So head on over to purchase a gift card, and once we're through this, enjoy some delicious Cuban cuisine.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers. You've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
There's a lot going on that makes it easy to lose your cool these days, but Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is here to make sure that doesn't happen. This August, you can get a brand new air conditioner for just $2,500 with the purchase of a high-efficiency furnace. Standard Heating is also offering low payment options or 0% financing, which is also pretty cool. Find out more at standardheating.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve since 1930.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Thank you very much to Senate Minority Leader Susan Kent. We definitely need her in the majority there, and we need to get Paul Gazelka out of there. Also, one should remind everyone, we've got coming up here in just a few moments, our actual Democrat of the day is Heather Keeler, Minnesota House 4A. You've heard her on with Robert Pilot Show. We'll talk to her about her campaign up in the Moorhead region of the state. The Minnesota coronavirus update, 8 COVID deaths, 738 infections with the coronavirus. Of the cases that infectious disease were reported by Minnesota Department of Health on Friday. The daily count total brings the pandemic Minnesota to 1,693 deaths, 63,723 lab confirmed cases. The state reported that 313 people were hospitalized on Friday due to COVID-19. 152 needed intensive care. Those numbers are pretty much staying stable. 6 of the 8 deaths involved residents of long-term care assisted living facilities. State health officers had employed visitor restrictions and universal testing of residents and staff in facilities with positive infections to drive down the number of outbreaks. The share of COVID-19 deaths involving residents in such facilities has declined from 81% in June to 75% now. However, outbreaks have started to increase in long-term care facilities. Again, more coronavirus infections result in mild or no symptoms, but meaning that people can spread it to others without realizing how they have it on them, or they're carrying it to have it on them. It's not like it's a fake ID. You're trying to buy a liquor, for goodness sakes. The state goal is to keep that rate below 30%, and so hopefully it's dashboard data shows that 34% of recent confirmed indications came from unknown community sources. They're trying to keep that down to 30%. The state is meeting its goal for the high rate of diagnostic testing, but falling short of its goals on COVID-19 hospital admissions and new infections. So there you go. It is. I will say I've been keeping an eye on Itasca County. Itasca County is where Effie's at, and that's where that rodeo is at. And I'm going to just tell you, yep, it sure does seem like infections in that county are starting to go up. Sure looks like it, and neighboring counties as well. It looks like the infection rate is starting to go up in that county. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. It's not bad yet, but they're, for a county that size, I mean, Itasca County is just west of St. Louis County, so that big county up in the northern part of the state. It's just west of there. I think Couchiching County is up in the north of that. And Itasca County, I have a feeling it's going to get bad there. I wonder also, with the summer and people kind of revisiting Minnesota, which has been nice. I mean, there's a lot of people going out and exploring Minnesota. People that might have traveled someplace else during the summer, they're going out and going out of the state. I wonder if what's happening with the senior centers is if people are going to visit people in these centers more because, oh, let's go visit grandma or let's go visit our uncle or go visit our aunt. We haven't seen them forever. They're over at this care facility. I'm wondering if that's having an impact. We'll have to see. Needless to say, I've read some incredibly sobering reports about what's coming down the road in September and October. But hey, the Republicans wanted to fire the person in charge of worker safety in the state during a pandemic because there are bitter, petty, angry people at Governor Walz. You can't stop people from wanting to get into traffic, can you? You can't sometimes. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. Democrat of the day when we do return. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Minnehaha Falls Landscaping creates outdoor environments that grow beauty and support health and wellness. We provide everything needed for people and pollinators to grow healthy together in the home landscape. Contact us for landscape renovations, patios, walkways, retaining walls, butterfly gardens, rain gardens, and bee lawns. Minnehaha Falls Landscaping is a business rooted in healthy soil. We rely on soil health to beautify landscapes, restore ecosystems, and protect pollinators. We love sharing our soil secrets with everyone. Visit us at MinnehahaFallsLandscape.com.
Connections radio show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show. And together, we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil. Today, with the uncertainty going on, we're all looking to find a way to make our dollar go further. That's why I suggest your next vehicle is a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Not only do I have a newer Toyota, I also have a 2006 Sienna, and it still runs great. 14 years and 170,000 miles later. I love Toyotas, and they're made to last, and they have never let me down. And with maintenance from Rudy Luther, your vehicle will take care of you and save even more money with the Luther Advantage card with your vehicle purchase. Rudy Luther Toyota at 394 and 169 west of Minneapolis.
These days, our home is the center of our world. This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style right here on AM 950. If we're all going to be spending a lot more time at home, doesn't it make sense to make your space the most attractive and most functional space it can be? At Habitation, my experienced, degreed interior design staff can help you select the perfect furnishings for your home and your lifestyle. Furniture is more than one size fits all, and there's more to making a room work than a couple of chairs and a sofa. Whether it's a modular, sectional, carefully selected to maximize your living room, or the perfect bed, dresser, and nightstand combination to create your dream bedroom, Habitation can help you achieve the space you've always wanted. So check us out online at habitationdesign.com or schedule an appointment at our Edina showroom. Habitation Furnishing and Design. Make your home exceptional.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Wow, still buzzing on Senator Susan Kent coming in and joining us, talking about, Gazelka earlier this week. We'll have that podcast. We'll spotlight that interview. We'll make sure we have that available a little bit later on. The EatLocalMinnesota.com restaurant of the week is Nightingale. Now, reminder, 26 in Lindale, Minneapolis, open to limited outdoor and patio seating. The full menu's at NightingaleMPLS.com. Great food. Get it to go as well. 10 till 4 every day. They got the curbside takeout and wine. You can also get yourself that staff support T-shirt to help them out. Please do. NightingaleMPLS.com. That's NightingaleMPLS.com. If we have her on more this week, we actually technically have to call her an employee. She has been on with Robert Pilot twice in the last week. Heather Keeler is kind enough to join us. She is the DFL candidate for House District 4A, which is Moorhead and a little bit north of that on the border out in the northwest side of the state. She's kind enough to join us today to talk about her campaign as Democrat of the Day. Hi, Heather. How are you?
Hi, Matt. I'm pretty good. How are you?
All righty. You and Robert Pilot are all you are like a co-hosting at this point. You're a regular on this station now.
Yeah. You know, I will say that Native Roots Radio has just been phenomenal to me with the support and encouragement, but also just connecting with other leaders across not only the state but the region. And so, yeah, I have a lot of respect for Robert and his team and also Ruth Buffalo for the support that they've given me in this process.
Native Roots Radio, if you've not listened to Robert and that crew, Native Roots Radio is sensational radio, period. It is sensational radio, period. You should be listening to that. Heather, let's get a little bit of background here. You've talked with Robert. This is my pleasure to chat with you for the first time directly. Why don't you explain who you are and why exactly you decided to run for 4A?
Sure. Well, I always say, and I like to start off, that I'm not a groomed politician. I actually kind of say that I'm a community activist turned political candidate because I grew up seeing and feeling policies and funding decisions really negatively impact me and my communities. I am an enrolled member of the Yankton Sioux Tribe, which is the Yankton Nation down in South Dakota with lineage to Eastern Shoshone. So there's that. And then I'm female and I'm part of the LGBTQ population. So you put those elements together, there's been a lot of decisions that have been made about me and my family that hasn't necessarily been positive. And so as I've done the work and advocacy, I've really had the opportunity to sit down in living rooms with people and hear the struggles that we're all going through. And when Ben Lean announced his retirement, mm-hmm. I was actually going to run for school board. And community members reached out to me and said, you know, it's really important that your voice is here. And I looked around at the other candidates and thought, you know what, our community deserves options, at least. We deserve options on who we want to be our voice. And so I announced at 3:30, the day of the caucus, and won the DFL endorsement. And then this week really did awesome in the primary. And so now here I am. It's really surreal. But I feel like I have amazing support and a fabulous team that's helping us through this journey.
What I love about your story is we have a long way to go in this country. Oh, Lord, do we have a long way to go. But the reality is that a candidate with that is eclectic as you, that represents so many diverse elements as you, is such a refreshing candidate. And it wasn't that long ago where it was, you know, generally white guy, and the fact that we are now actually seeing candidates who represent the people. Dear Lord, how what a great concept that is. You represent the people. So we have a diverse collection of voices. I think that's just sensational that we have a candidate that is as diverse. And reality is I think we need a lot more candidates like you across the board, frankly.
Yeah, well, and the whole thing is I really believe in the seven generations. And I know that the people before me did a lot of work to get me where I'm at. But I want to create a space where the next generation and kids who either of our minority backgrounds, part of the LGBTQ population, or just part of a population that feels like they're unheard or unseen or unvalued to the greater population. I want to be an example that we belong here. Our voices are valid, our experiences are real, and we need to be part of that decision making. I really cannot wait until the day that somebody like me runs and we're not this unique unicorn. Mm-hmm. It'll be nice when I'm just another candidate and not all these elements that we haven't seen at the table before. So hopefully we're creating a space where our next generations really step up and we start to see inclusive decision-making grow and grow.
The 4A, obviously, Moorhead, part of the Fargo metro area. Talk about some of the unique elements that you want to tackle, what you want to fight for 4A.
Yeah, I mean, I think the things for me that are really important, I'll say the overall view is I want inclusive decision making. So any conversation
Wonderful.
That we have, we need to have voices that are saying, are we sure this is actually having a positive impact on all of our populations and really inclusive? But I care a lot about education equity. In our district, 98% of our teachers are white. And so that just means we're not really having those conversations to learn about all elements of history, let alone being really inclusive in our curriculum. Affordable and inclusive housing here, because we're a border city, it's really easy for people to just move across the river. And in our community, our average rent is $839 a month, yet our average income only narrows down to $11 an hour. So, you do the math, and that is really hard for people to be successful here. So just being the voice that, yes, we need to take care of greater Minnesota, but also we need to remember our border cities and why it's so important for us to be seen out here. So housing, quality health care for everybody. Growing up utilizing the IHS, I really saw what underfunded healthcare system can do to individuals, and we need to be healthy. I really, really care about protecting Mother Earth. I say my brother was blessed with the science brain. I was blessed with the mouth to say we're doing something wrong. And so I just really want to be vocal in making sure that we're making moves to protect Mother Earth. And so the small businesses here also really need to thrive. We're losing business here. People are closing down. They're moving to North Dakota just because taxes are different. And so really being sure that we come up with a creative way to grow and thrive and put Moorhead on the map for a place that people want to visit.
You also have the interesting element of growth, and Moorhead is a growing city. You have people that are moving into that area. When you talk about growth, you got to do it. You have to have a good game plan there. What are some of the things as you see growth, whether it's roads, education, schools, healthcare, accessibility? What are some of the areas there that as the community grows, as the city grows, you feel as if, you know what, we need to start addressing this in a more efficient manner or else we're going to get overwhelmed because the city's not going to be able to handle it?
Right. Yeah, that's good. And a big thing that I believe in is collaboration and working with people who are already working on some of those efforts. And so I have a pretty good working relationship with our mayor. And there's been conversation about what does our tax structure look like and how, as a greater city, do we really need to evaluate that so that it's appealing for people to move here. But also, Moorhead is a very big community that's focused around higher education. You know, we have MSUM here. We have Minnesota Technical Community College. And we have Concordia. So just within our small community, we have three higher ed institutes that we've seen those cuts in the budget. And, I mean, we've had massive cuts here, which is then not only are we not growing, we're losing out on the potential of people wanting to stay. Because when you come to school here, that's why I came here, you fall in love with this community and you stay. Well, if we eliminate all of these programs and things within our higher ed system, we're losing the opportunity of people coming here and staying. And so I also think that we need to invest in some grant money to really support our small businesses here rather than just the tax credits. I think tax credits are great, but I think we need to help with those startup businesses, whether it's super small businesses like six or less people, Native-owned, minority-owned, New American-owned, veteran-owned, women-owned. We really need to invest in helping them get up and off the ground because we all know the first year of business is extremely hard anyways. And then investing in the arts. You know, I think if we really get back invested in, you know, having live music and different arts and theater going here in our community, that's always a nice way to grow because people feel like they enjoy living here. And then you get people to visit and then people actually look at the opportunity to move and stay here with their families.
You said earlier in this conversation, I'm not a groomed politician. You are possibly the best Democrat of the day I've had on so far.
No.
I mean, I'm not groomed. I'm not groomed. I'm seriously, I'm a mess. But, you know, my goodness, I love that answer. Just one thing I want to go back to, go back to the higher education point you just made. It's not just the point of you want to have strong schools, but it's the flip side of that coin. If your schools aren't good, if you're getting rid of departments, if you're getting rid of faculty, kids are going to go to college. They're just not going to go to college there. And as you describe, a good college environment creates growth with good jobs after they graduate. You don't want to see all those kids going to Minneapolis, St. Paul, or to Rochester, or Duluth, or to UND. You can keep them there in Moorhead. You have a lot of colleges. I think that that's the important element because that's what really stimulates the growth. It's not just the fact that you have jobs. It's the fact that you are producing people, that their salaries that come with their jobs are generally much better paying jobs. And so you get that income and it creates better growth.
Right. Oh, I agree. You know, when we look at our breakdown of our income in our community, 19% of our income is based around education. So you're right. That means we're not just losing out on the opportunity of students, but, you know, we're letting go of some really phenomenal faculty and staff. And then that's, you know, the income that's being lost in our community. And so they're moving out and leaving as well to go find other jobs. So, yeah, I think, you know, I say over and over that the voice that I've had for 20 years speaking up for the underserved population will be really valuable in St. Paul because I feel like Moorhead tends to be the underserved population when it comes to Minnesota. And I'm not afraid to speak up. I'm not afraid to come to the table and make sure that we maybe add an element of support for border cities when we're looking at decision making on a state level.
Wow. You know, you're a fantastic candidate. I know I can just tell you right now, 4A is going to be lucky when you are in St. Paul representing them, that's for sure. Heather Keeler, Democrat of the day. Once again, one of the big points here is we're trying to get money out of relatively safe metro area districts, volunteers out of relatively safe metro area districts. Head on up to Moorhead, head up to 4A, help out Heather by, you know, with the volunteer opportunities, making donations. Heather, your webpage, what is the address people should head to?
So it's heather4house.com, and it's the number 4. And that's the same hashtag that I have all over social media. So you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with that as well. And I do, in the virtual world, we're doing our best to make a virtual world personalized. And so we do a lot of phone banking right now. And what I can tell you is you can phone bank from anywhere in the state. So We are going to start hosting phone banks twice a week. And also, we just have more mailers and more things that we're going to be sending out. So donations are very welcome. I do bring a unique voice to the table that I think will really benefit all of Minnesota. And so any support statewide is greatly, greatly appreciated.
Heather Keeler, House District 4A, Democrat of the day. Heather, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much. We'll probably hear you on Robert's show here before too long as well. But thank you very much for the time to come on my show today.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. You have a good day.
My pleasure. Heather Keeler, Democrat of the day. And by the way, quick little side note, public safety announcement. I know Republicans are listening to me right now. I'll have a Republican of the day. You on equal time. It's my questions. It's my show. I'm going to ask you what I want. You start going on diatribes. I'm going to cut you off. You're going to answer the questions I put forward. But you want to come on my show and do that? Please. I'll make time. We can snuggle. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
The Electric Fetus is now open Tuesday through Saturday from 10 to 6. There are limits to the number of people allowed in the store and masks are required. Web and phone orders are available for curbside pickup, but the Electric Fetus is currently only buying used vinyl and DVDs by appointment only at this time. Visit electricfetus.com for the latest info and to shop for music, gift department merchandise, and gift cards. 2000 4th Avenue South, Minneapolis, and electricfetus.com.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. I'm a better neighbor because my service has taught me how important it is to be a team player. My training helps me in my classes when I give attention to detail to the task at hand. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Even though these are challenging times, All Energy Solar is still committed to providing you a cost-effective, environmentally friendly energy system through their zero-contact protocol. Solar remains a great value and long-term investment, but some of the incentive programs will be expiring soon. All Energy Solar can walk you through the entire process. They can evaluate your property by phone or webinar, and can even complete preliminary design work without visiting your home. So start saving on your energy bill today and visit allenergysolar.com.
You waited and now you save. Zero Res and AM 950 are partnering for an end of summer carpet cleaning sale. This month you can get 3 rooms of carpet Zero Res clean for just $119. Their patented powered water will clean the toughest messes and won't leave behind any of those smelly stains. Plus, keep the air in your home fresh by taking $50 off your air duct cleaning. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call to get these big savings. That's 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Wow. Dang right. I'm sorry. I've watched the men be in charge for a while. I'm going to be honest with you. I've seen great leaders. Barack Obama was a fantastic leader, was a phenomenal leader. Joe Biden's going to be a great president of the United States. But you know what? I've seen enough white dudes screw things up so damn bad. I say it's time we give everyone else a chance. White men have had their chance, and they kind of screwed it up pretty bad. Kind of bad. And today, it's just to be joined by such inspiring women. Yeah, this is the future is going to be bright. It just is how long does it have to take to get there? One thing, though, I want to bring up something here really quick that just numbers I saw that actually kind of stunned me from primary night. Now, this is off the MinPost kind of database that they did here, the dashboard that they did. You had, and this is the first place I noticed this was in District 3. This is Dean Phillips' seat, right? There was a lesser primary on Dean's side. It wasn't really close. But there was a primary on the Republican side. Kendall Qualls and Leslie Davis faced off with each other. The combined votes – now, once again, this is District 3. This was held until recently by a Republican and been held by Republicans for years, the Jim Ramstead seat. The Democrats' vote, the Democratic vote for the Democratic primary – was 80,000 votes. The Republican primary had 33,000 votes. That's insane. Now, 4 and 5, they generally lean heavily Democratic. District 6, this is Tom Emmer's seat. This is a seat that has been drawn to be a slam dunk for Republicans. And the Republicans did outdraw the Democrats, but not by much. Tom Emmer and Patrick Murno, by the way, Murno ended up getting 13% of the vote. They had 34,000 votes. The Democratic nominee had about 29,500. But for District 6, please, that's close. And in District 8, here's – you want something unbelievable. District 8, there wasn't a primary on the Democratic side. Quim Nystrom is a sensational DFL candidate. She is the only candidate for the DFL. The Republicans had a primary. Pete Stauber versus Harry Rob Welty. Okay. In District 8, without a challenger, Quinn Nystrom had 46,000 votes. Pete Stauber and Yosemite Sam there, they had 41,000, 41.5. They outdrew them, and they didn't even have a primary, for God's sakes. That's a good sign. But you know what? Anticipate every Republican voting for Trump. Anticipate this is not about convincing Republicans to stay home or voting Democrat. This is about the 110 million voters who sat out in 2016. Everyone votes. Everyone votes. How about it? Why not? Freddie King, big-legged women. There you go. Taking us out on a Friday. You have a fantastic weekend. We are going to be back on a Monday. Spotlight these two interviews. We'll have those up a little bit later on. Have a good one. Till Monday. See ya.
I love the tip. I love the tom. I love you better than hard love slump, 'cause you're a big leg woman with a sharp, sharp minute skirt. Darling, never make me feel like this. She has the vine, goes around the stump. You are mine, call it sugar lump, 'cause you're a big leg woman with a sharp, sharp miniskirt. Promise me, darling, never make me feel like this. I told you once, I told you twice, we go together like red beans and rice, 'cause you're a big leg woman with a sharp, sharp miniskirt. Promise me, darling, never make